Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Wednesday, February the 9th, 2022. And I have the honor to have Professor James Fetzer on with me. And Jim, before I get started with you and you give me your report, I'm going to update everybody to what's going on. We're all being targeted. Now, I talked about it on an earlier show tonight for a little while with National Guard whistleblower Debbie Davis, etc. But, you know, Jim, I was targeted, being tailed, and it goes on all the time. And they were doing a pattern with me when my father was alive, and I was driving 15 miles over to this nursing home. But before, it was like a mile, and I had to move him out of there. And I ended up getting murdered in the other one without even getting into it. Here's the point. I had been stopped by this little bitch over about a six-day period of time, seen her car, a little red Volkswagen that she was driving, a little blue one, I mean. And seen it. Well, anyway, I ended up starting taking people's pictures because they're going in. I was going to business here and a business there intentionally to see if they'd follow me from business to business and then in another parking lots, and they were doing it. And I had to have about 3 to 4 tails on me because they had a pattern of me going over to see my father every day. So they were watching for me several times. All of a sudden, they bringing their boys from downtown at the FBI or the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office, Gene Baker. Because I chased one of their little feds back into there and had federal police on me before I got to the parking lot, could see him pull his car in. And it's a caged 4 or 5-story parking lot. Now, I know where they operate out of, and the whole bit, I got them nailed. But she was stalking me. And she pulled off intentionally so she could stay behind me. I saw her come in a parking lot that I was hidden behind some other cars. She saw where I turned. She was one of three of them on that day. Now, it all came to pass. She ended up stalking me 15 miles up the road from Green Valley, Missouri, to Blue Springs, Missouri. And then all of a sudden, I look in my rearview mirror. I'm stopped at a light, and all of a sudden, I look as the light changes. She's right directly behind me. And there's a two-lane turning lane, left lane. So I make the turn. I'm in the far right. And as soon as two cars cleared, I pulled her to the left, she pulls her to the left, I pull her back over to the right, she pulls her right, I pull her to the left, she's back behind me, she runs into me. I stopped. I said, that's enough. I get out and I walk back and I said, she's locking her car door and backing up. I said, you're under citizen's arrest. And so she's trying to leave the scene. So I got in my car and I took an immediate right into the first parking lot, went to the back, she stopped me back to there. She was blocking the entrance. She thought there was another exit. But the point was, she was there, so I plug in my camera. I take a picture. Now, this is all up on my internet site, folks. Under the breaking news column, there's a picture of her right there, giving me the finger. Now, that was where I caught her, down 15 miles in a different town, but yet I was charged. Here's what ended up happening. She's calling the police while I'm calling the police, while I'm videotaping her, and she, oh, he just got out of his car. He's pointing a gun at me. I'm so scared. And she repeats it. I said, Jesus Christ, she lied to the cops. That's what she did. But she was carrying a badge of some type because they had been on me. Here's the point, Jim. I represent myself. I go to court. And the first thing I ask him, because I filed a bill of particulars, and this is Blue Springs, municipal court, city of Blue Springs. Now, you can't get any representation, free, legal aid, public defender, or anybody, if you got a charge there or coming out of there. They don't represent you. They won't give you aid. So you got to pay a lawyer. Well, I played lawyer for myself, and the first thing I did, he asked me if I wanted to cross-examine the victim. I said, sure. I said, tell me whose payroll you were on the day that you ran into the back of me and you were stalking me and you claimed I had a gun. Whose payroll? And the judge said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, possibility of FBI number 5 Joint Task Force Group operating out of Jackson County Prosecutor's Office. He said, Mr. Webb, I think you're incompetent. I think we need to have a hearing on your competency. To represent myself, to ask a simple question, Jim. Now, this was a fill-in, sit-in judge. Otis Johnson, super spook, used to call him like the roster of doctors that took care of Vince Foster's autopsy, death, and all these others, and covers up everything. This is the cover-up artist. Some of them aren't even attorneys, and they act as a judge sit-in for that particular case or two during that day. Now, that's what I got. So he goes and has his little, I want to see the prosecutor and four cops. He did that in the first hearing. And then he turns around and wouldn't allow me to play the cops' evidence that they gathered of her statement. He's pointing a gun at me. I'm so scared. And I was sitting in my car holding a video camera with one hand and doing the phone to the police with the other. Now, that's all in that, the audios and all this that I'm talking about. Here's what they filed. I appealed it. And I sued them the day of a hearing. Well, I'm going to put in a hearing for having him mentally evaluated. They signed some fucking order back on the 16th of January, Jim. So it came down to I had to cut a deal. I had to plead guilty to two charges, pay him fucking $600, excuse me, and I got a chunk out on an attorney. I had to borrow $1,250 of stuff in his pocket. That was, and I had to hop in my car to do it. I need a couple grand. I need the American people that know me to help me out this time around. I never ask for donations on the air. Hardly ever you'll hear me, but I could use some. But that's my story. So she goes down. They order me. A shrink calls me. That's how I figured out what was going on. So I got it under control, but I got to pay a fine and I got to finish out the attorney fee. Go pull my car out of hock. Anyway, with that said, Jim, give me the reports in this next 50 minutes or so of what you have found out this past week or two.
My friend, it's really terrible because time after time you're exactly in the right. You have the evidence, the law's on your side, and you get screwed anyway. So
I know.
Courage.
There's no justice. Go ahead.
So I would encourage everyone out there who can possibly afford a few bucks to toss it Stu's way. Let them know, Stu, how to get the money to you because, not everyone is going to know just off the top of their head if they want to support how they could get money.
Well, they could mail me money or put it into PayPal on my PayPal account. It's on my website on stuweb.com. And there's a contribute button and it goes to PayPal. That'd be the fastest way to get it. But mail also, post office box 472 Oak Grove, OAK Grove, GROVE, Missouri. 64075. And my phone number, 816-492-9809. You can give me a call and I'll give you the information again if you need it. And thanks, Jim, for bringing that up.
I would have thought the administration of the law in Missouri would be more sober and judicious. I'm very troubled by all these reports you're giving.
Trying to have me mentally evaluated because they said I'm incompetent to represent myself, let alone to come to trial. In other words, lock him up like they tried to do in Springfield, Missouri. But the shrinks down there said, no, there's nothing the matter with him. He should never have been sent here. He's totally competent. That goes back to the days I blew it out that was, the whistleblower in prison down there, along with 2,000 Iran-Contra players and a couple super spooks I met in Denver and a couple down there. And I mean, everybody was there. Fuck. Bo Abbott that captured Noriega. He was a lieutenant commander, Naval SEALs. And he also blew up an oil well for Daddy Bush out in the Gulf once. Told to go out and get everybody off. They'd get off and they didn't. A few people remained. It was one of Bush's oil wells he wanted to blow up and put in a new one. Anyway, they did those sort of things. I was locked up with those type of people, Jim, in case you were unaware. But go ahead.
Well, I want to give everyone an update about what's going on in Canada, which is without any doubt the greatest story in the world today. The Ottawa police chief has admitted that the city on the city council live stream that it was the mayor who led to the jettisoning of the GoFundMe program for the truckers, which had accumulated around $10 million, which they simply confiscated on Friday.
Oh, my God.
And declared that they were going to contribute to charities of their choice. This created such a backlash, including declaration from multiple attorneys general, including in Florida, launching an investigation since this was a form of outright theft. They were appropriating other people's funds improperly. This is a grotesque violation of the law. that they decided to reverse themselves and declared they would return the money directly to the contributors initially. You had to submit a form to request your money back. Well, that's completely absurd. So now they reversed and said they're going to send it back automatically. But it will take 7 to 10 days. Now think about it. The truckers up there freezing their ass off in the winter. 7 to 10 days, is that money going to do them any good? This is completely disgusting what's going on here. Now,
I heard they contaminated, they took the fuel from and then they turned around contaminated. So the vehicles are all screwed up. Cops did that.
Crazy. Well, that's a story I don't know, Stu. You're telling me?
Yeah.
They gave them fuel? Why did it have sugar?
They took, I don't know. They took they confiscated their fuel they needed to refuel and everything. Tankers up there, and they confiscated, and then they brought it back and it's contaminated and screwed up a bunch of trucks. That's what I heard today. Now, Bugsy and Charlene Renee, they reported on it tonight on my show earlier. I had a show with them, with the whistleblower, National Guard whistleblower, Debbie Davis. You might want to put her on the air. I'll give you her number later.
Most of that's a story I don't have, but what I do have is a trucker's declaration which shows the breadth and scope of their understanding of what they're up against. Let me share it with everyone. Trucker's declaration. We, the truckers of America, declare that whereas the killer virus is a mild flu, the COVID vaccine is a gene modification treatment, harmful, often deadly, and damaging to the immune system. The COVID vaccine is unnecessary because cheap, effective remedies exist. Administering these dangerous experimental jabs to children is especially evil and violates the Nuremberg Code of 1947. The PCR test is totally fraudulent and can't differentiate between COVID-19 and the seasonal flu, as the CDC and WHO now admit after 2 years. The tests mostly give false positives and were rigged to do so. The PCR swabs are invasive, potentially damaging to the olfactory nerve, and contain toxic substances. The case data generated is meaningless junk, as the authorities now admit. The masks are totally useless, increase the risk of disease, and can damage children's brains by cutting off the supply of oxygen. The vaccine mandates are illegal, unconstitutional, and violate our fundamental human rights in the Nuremberg Code of 1947. The vaccine passports are illegal, unconstitutional, discriminatory, go against science, and violate the Nuremberg Code. The news media is the PR agency of Big Pharma purveying disinformation and lies about the pandemic 24/7. Plandemic, they put it. The fact checkers are paid mouthpieces of Big Pharma disseminating untruths and misinformation. We hereby declare that we are not leaving the city until our demands are met as follows. No more mandates. No more gene-based vaccines. No more bogus diagnostic tests. No more masks. No more health passports. No more censorship by the lying news media and social media. All the scientific findings by truth-telling doctors and researchers must be fully presented to the public. Full compensation by the vaccine manufacturers and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to every person injured by the COVID-19 vaccines or their bereaved families. Our demonstration is totally peaceful and lawful. If any disturbance occurs, it is the result of FBI dirty tricks as occurred on the so-called Capitol riot of January 6, 2021. It's time to end this scandemic. I really like that statement. Meanwhile, in Alberta, the police called tow trucks to come and tow away the rigs. The tow trucks did show up, but not only did they refuse to tow the trucks away, they joined the convoy. Meanwhile, Justin Trudeau, who's a mediocrity and a weakling, is seeking to bring in force to use against the protesters, even though it appears to be completely legal. Indeed, we have, a signer of the Canadian Charter. It's very interesting. Canada's Charter is of relatively recent origin that they got around to formalizing it. It has much more explicit guarantees about, the right to protest, peaceful protest, petition the government, freedom of speech, and all that. Well, one of the signers, the only living man alive who signed the charter and who authored several of the sections is bringing a lawsuit against the Trudeau government for violating it. Meanwhile, the tyrannical Trudeau is warning Americans who donate to the Freedom Convoy that he'll press criminal charges against them. This is about as absurd as it gets.
Is this Trudeau saying this? Is this Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, or whatever his name is? Okay, that guy, let me tell you something, Jim, in case you didn't know, Spook told me. He said that Cuban's Fidel Castro is his father.
Yeah, that's actually well known, Stu. Okay. He is, yes, he's the son of Fidel Castro. We did a show today with called The Event on Revolution Radio, and Russ Winter was actually talking about his research on this very subject, which is that Pierre Trudeau's wife, Margaret, was really quite something and a bit of a sex addict. And she would have, you know, sex with all kinds of musicians. She was quite the groupie and prominent people. And they had a visit to Cuba where, you know, this is part of their marital arrangement where she had sex with Fidel, and that appears to have issued injustice. Now, not only does it appear that this protest is completely legal, but Ottawa and Saskatchewan have dropped their COVID mandates. Get this. Just a week after Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau called the Freedom Convoy protesters an insult to truth and maligned them as far-right extremists, premiers across Canada started to cave into their demands. The premiers of Alberta and Saskatchewan have dropped COVID vaccine passports, a step they admitted was necessary to unify the country. Ottawa is also rolling back its COVID restrictions, with limits on private gatherings being removed effective next month. Police in Ottawa have attempted to break the will of the Freedom Convoy protesters by stealing their supplies and knocking down their encampments. But opposition only continues to grow against the medical tyranny of Canada's government officials have become quietly acquiescing to their demands. Several provinces are peeling back the vaccine mandates and health restrictions are at the heart of a polarizing debate across the country over what it will mean to live with COVID-19. Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Quebec all unveiled plans Tuesday to curb the measures that have become the focal point of an exhausted public after nearly 2 years of the global health crisis. In the West, governments are moving quickly. Alberta announced it would lift vaccine passport requirements by the end of Tuesday night. That would have been last night, part of a multi-stage approach to eliminating the majority restrictions in the province. The news came hours after the Saskatchewan government had said it would do away with the vaccine requirement on February 14th, Valentine's Day, with mask mandates to be scrapped 2 weeks later. In Quebec, which has seen some of the country's strictest public health measures, Premier François Legault described a plan that would see most restrictions lifted by March 14th. Starting Saturday, there will no longer be any legal restrictions on private gatherings. I think this is all quite sensational, Stu, and represents a triumph of the citizens in opposition to tyranny, where it appears, at least at present, that the tyrants are backing down. I regard this as an enormously important development. And just as we were coming on, the Sean Hannity show is beginning, and he has got Sarah Carter, one of his best reporters, there with the truckers in Ottawa, and they were giving a live report. They've also blocked the trucking from Canada into Detroit, which is a major, major transportation commercial highway. It processes some 40% of trade between Canada and the United States, and it's at the cost of, you know, millions and millions of dollars of business every single day, probably every single hour, so that I think this is going to intensify the necessity to resolve this matter in a peaceful, amicable way. Even though GoFundMe shut down the truckers, a Give Cent Go alternative has already raised an additional $5 or $6 million they're getting to the truckers, and Give Cent Go is sending the money directly to those who are providing the fuel for for the truckers, so they don't even have to deal with an intermediate. They describe themselves as a Christian website, but obviously you don't have to be a Christian to take advantage of give, send, go. I believe, probably by today, that the stock of GoFundMe will have dropped precipitously. I expect it is going to be banned by most who object to this very arbitrary, high-handed manner in which they were even willing to commit theft of funds that were donated for a worthy cause. Stu, it's stunning stuff.
I'll tell you what you've given a report on is excellent, Jim. I didn't know it got that deep, but I'm telling you what. What I see right now, it's kind of a bigger picture for me. And it's the people against their governments. That's what's happening. And when the people rise, I've been told by many spooks, two super spooks told me, Stu, if you could get about a 10 million man army to rise up out there, he says the military, 80% of them would stand behind the American people. 80% of them inside the military would stand behind the American people. If you look at it, I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, all the top rank, the generals and so forth, they're going to take them out. They'll take the colonels and above because they're fucking pieces of shit. So many of them are dirty. And that's what I've been told. And that is probably true because of the amount of drugs involved. I had Debbie Davis on. You know, I'll put her on. Have to listen to the interview and talk to her, but you know, she was down in National Guard and Keating was running, or not Keating, but John McCain was running the fucking show down there, shipping weapons and missiles and tanks and, I mean, anything anybody wanted to buy for Daddy Bush. He was the broker for him, and his wife was supplying. I reported on that. Got it from a spook. His wife, Cindy McCain, if you punch her name in my search box, folks, on my website, the story had come up. Tom Flacco wrote it. Matter of fact, Tom Flacco had the opportunity to talk with Super Spook Otis Johnson on a couple, three times. So, anyway, he knew he existed, and he did several stories for me. But, anyway, Jim, Cindy McCain is a piece of garbage. Her daughter, this mind-controlled pig, she looks like a pig. I mean, she's fat. Excuse me, ladies. I don't call ladies that are fat pigs, but this thing's a pig because she's got the mind of a pig. There's no brains between her ears. She's a McCain. Go ahead.
Stu, I have another story for our audience that I think they will appreciate.
Yes.
Listen, we all know that all the pollsters have been warning of a bloodbath for the Democrats coming in the midterm election. The Democrats tried to forestall it by passing their Build Back Better, their voting rights bill, which was misguided, that was going to require universal mail-in balloting, which meant they'd be able to steal every election from now to kingdom come. When they lost that, they realized they had to change course. Well, the most important issue the American people resent is all of the mandates. So guess what's happening today, beginning this weekend and now, just like that, poof, only months before the 2022 midterms, Democratic leaders, medical experts, and DNC corporate media have decided to end COVID. As the Chinese virus death toll nears the 900,000 mark, Biden's Health and Human Services curiously stopped requiring hospitals to report virus cases. The same Democrat lawmakers who spent the last 2 years shaming Americans for choosing to not wear a mask in indoor and outdoor settings are now announcing mandates are suddenly no longer necessary. Could their sudden about-face have anything to do with the midterm elections that are only 9 months away? In April, CNN medical analyst Dr. Leanna Nguyen, who frequently appears on the DNC News Network to advise on all things related to the Chinese virus, implored the Biden regime to use the experimental vaccine as a way to hold the American public hostage. Dr. Nguyen suggested to former host Chris Cuomo that the best way to ensure all people are vaccinated is by restricting the freedom of those who have not yet gotten the jab. Yesterday was the first day of what appears to be a coordinated plot by Democrats, the DNC corporate media, and so-called medical experts to erase COVID before the 2022 midterm elections. Several Democrat governors of solidly blue states came out with the same announcement after 2.5 years of their state, they will all be lifting their mandates. Now, I'm going to give you a list of some of them in detail, Stu, on NBC Tonight, this guy Lester Holt had a map. He was showing like 11 blue states are all concurrently dropping their mandates. Here are some specifics. Connecticut Governor Lamont announced he's ending the statewide school mask mandate on February 28th, one day before the you-know-what, that is the State of the Union on 1 March, when Biden is going to emulate Boris Johnson by rescinding, you know, most of these restraints and claim that he has vanquished the vax. In a related tweet, Lamont, this is the governor of Connecticut, claims Connecticut has seen a dramatic decline in cases caused by the Omicron variant, and children over the age of 5 have the ability to get vaccinated for now 3 months. Dr. Wynn herself did an about-face and tweeted, in the coming days, we'll see many governors and local leaders lift mask mandates. This is the right step. And, of course, it's because it's all coordinated. It's all politics. Someone has observed, you know, this. They're claiming, they're justifying this, that the science has changed. Well, in a way, they're right. What's changed is the political science, too. They're reading the polls, and they're headed for a disaster, so they're going to try to make amends. It's going to be too little too late. We have Governor Newsom of California announcing the Golden State will end its statewide mask mandate on February 15th, lift negative test mandates for visiting hospitals and nursing homes. Governor Phil Murphy triumphantly announced the Garden State, New Jersey statewide mask mandate will end on March 7th, a week after you-know-who makes his big speech. In a tweet later in the afternoon, Murphy said, we are not going to manage COVID to zero. We have to learn how to live with COVID as we move from a pandemic to an endemic phase of this virus. Democrat lawmakers who fervently back iron-fisted lockdowns put in place by their comrades are suddenly appearing maskless in photos while their subject remain masked in the background. The maskless Democrat Georgia governor wannabe Stacey Abrams was slammed on social media for sharing a photo of herself with a room full of abused kids wearing masks over their faces. U.S. Representative Elisa Slotkin of Michigan was the second Democrat to expose the hypocrisy of her party while setting the stage for supporting their new narrative that masks are no longer necessary. SNL, Saturday Night Live comedian and actor Rod Schneider mocked Dr. Wynn's appearance with CNN's John Berman, where she told the snarky host, the science has changed. Schneider, like most Americans who see what's really going on, they tweeted, the wind has, and they see which way it's blowing. Watch CNN's medical expert, Dr. Wynn, tell CNN host John Berman that wearing a mask should now become a personal choice, and that we need to be intellectually honest that the masks are having a serious effect on our kids. Why the sudden change of heart? Could it be the polls that show Democrats are in serious trouble going into the 2022 midterms? There's just no doubt about it, Stu. And this is all good for the American people. For the American people to get rid of this, get rid of these people. Many of these governors are up for re-election in 2022. Take them down. I would say at this point, anyone who votes for a Democrat for any office has their head where the sun doesn't shine. These people have shown their hand. They're completely despotic. It's all disgusting and outrageous, and it's just stunning, you know, that this reversal is taking place. That Biden is trying to hold off. He's trying to get people to hold off until he can make his grand stand on the 1st of March. But too much of it is already getting out. And I think once the people see through all this, how clearly, totally political it was, and it had nothing to do with medicine or science whatsoever, they will be outraged. Because the death toll has been increasing. Here's something stunning I want to share, which is that Senator Ron Johnson, who's my senator, of whom I'm extremely proud, has hosted what's called COVID-19, a second opinion. And Stu, among the reports that came, and a letter he's written, report on medical conditions, obligations of the military based upon billing for medical practices. So it's going to be accurate. Listen to this. What's happened from vaccine the military? Hypertension, a 2,181% increase. Diseases of the nervous system, a 1,048% increase. Malignant neoplasm of the esophagus, that would be esophageal cancer, 894% increase. Multiple sclerosis, 608% increase. Multiple neoplasms of the digestive organs, that would be like intestinal cancer, 624% increase. Guillain-Barré syndrome, 551% increase. Breast cancer, 487% increase. Malignant neoplasms of the thyroid and other endocrine glands, that would be thyroid cancer, etc., 474% increase. Female infertility, 472% increase. Pulmonary embolism, 468% increase. Migraine, 452% increase. Ovarian dysfunction, 437% increase. Testicular cancer, 369% increase. I mean, these are stunning numbers.
Let me add something here. Captain, United States Marine Corps, X, Lance Corporal, X, couldn't get rank in the reserves, you know, but I was an 0151, you know, I worked with CO. Here's the point, Jim. You sound like a Marine Corps captain. You've given such a detailed report. Now, here's the deal. We know we're getting ready to get hit hard. And the American people, what I'm seeing, is that they're awake. But we've got a problem with this Biden cat and gator. Trying to create a problem with, you know, Putin. Now, Putin, I respect because he brought Christianity back to Russia. He's never done anything to the Ukraine. They blamed, oh, he invaded. He didn't invade. All this bullshit. I've checked it out with all the spooks. It's our government is over there taking care of business. The crime syndicate. The Rockefellers, Rothschilds, Mizells, all the clowns, the 12 disciples of Satan they call them. That's the problem we have. But Jim, I want you to continue. Because I want the American people to understand. We're having the revolution right now. And Jim Fetzer's explaining it. And he's explaining what it is that's happening to our troops. Now, Jim, as an ex-Marine, I don't want any of these people who've been vaccinated inside the military going into a jungle with my ass. Okay? Because I won't come out. Because I'm not vaccinated. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, Stu, these are major, major developments going to have vast ramifications. Here we have an interesting report that the DHS is coming dangerously close to criminalizing the First Amendment and political beliefs. The State Department, along with over a dozen other Western governments, posted a joint statement expressing concerns about freedom of speech in Hong Kong. Perhaps these governments, beginning with our own, need to look in the mirror and recognize that their assault on basic human rights, including free speech, free association, and political and religious belief, is now on a par with the behavior of the Chinese communists. The undersigned members of Media Freedom Coalition express their deep concern at the Hong Kong and mainland Chinese authorities' attacks on freedom of the press and their suppression of independent local media in Hong Kong, began the statement, signed by countries like Australia that are now engaging in human rights violations under the color of COVID. This is quite a rich statement proclaiming in the same week that the White House called on Spotify to censor Joe Rogan for having long-form engaging discussions with brilliant scientists like Dr. Robert Malone and Peter McCullough. As early as July, the White House called on Facebook to censor any information on the vaccine that is not in line with the views of the regime. The top doctors and scientists treating COVID have essentially been removed from nearly every media platform. How exactly is this different from China? Well, you might suggest at least they won't hunt you down and treat you like a criminal for holding these views as they might do in a country like China. However, can you really count on that given what our government is already saying? On Monday, DHS posted its latest National Terrorism Advisory System bulletin COVID policies and election security under key factors contributing to the current heightened threat environment. The very first factor listed is the proliferation of false or misleading narratives which so discard or undermine public trust in U.S. government institutions. You might think this is referring to those who verbally and sometimes physically assault people for not covering their faces in a store, like women in Afghanistan, or perhaps denying kidney transplants to people for not getting a Pfizer product. But no, they mean people like you and me. For example, there is widespread online proliferation of false or misleading narratives regarding unsubstantiated widespread election fraud in COVID-19, states the bulletin. Grievances associated with these themes inspired violent extremist attacks during 2021. And of course, they're talking about the January event, which was run basically by the FBI in coordination with Nancy Pelosi and the Capitol Police. Can you list examples?
They're busy number five, FBI. It's called the Joint Task Force Group of FBI, spread throughout the police departments as intelligence divisions, and they hire them, and they're little Nazi fucks. Go ahead, Jim.
This factor was listed ahead of the concern of foreign Islamic terrorism or any mention of Colleyville Synagogue hostage taking. Our own government, for the first time in history, is seeking to criminalize political opposition and treated on the same level as Al-Qaeda. Then again, the DHS bulletin makes no mention of Al-Qaeda or the Chinese Communist Party. The witch hunt against freedom of speech is so strong that even members of Congress are not immune. Earlier this week, the Federalist reported Capitol Hill Police Inspector General is launching a probe into an allegation by one congressman that his office was illegally surveilled by police. According to Representative Troy Deals, a Republican from Texas, Capitol Hill Police stopped by his office in November and took a photo of legislative plans detailed on his whiteboard. The officers came back a few days later in plain clothes and questioned a staffer about a whiteboard that contained suspicious writings mentioning body armor. Specifically, Deals is planning to introduce legislation banning the sale of faulty Chinese body armor, which is obvious by the text of his writing. Again, in another case of projection, where the true Chinese-style authoritarians are accusing their opponents of lack of patriotism. On Tuesday, Representative Louis Gohmert of Texas accused the Justice Department of spying on members of Congress as well. In a statement posted on Twitter, Gohmert contends that constituent mail was opened and stamped with DOJ mailroom and labeled X-ray, seemingly indicating that the Justice Department looked first through the mail, which would violate the principle of separation of powers.
What state is this bastard from? What state is he from, Jim?
Oh, it's Louis Gohmert who's complaining that the Justice Department is spying on Congress, and because Justice is in the executive office, that's a violation of the separation of powers for them to be.
I thought you said a congressman had brought this up.
No, he's a good guy.
Okay, go ahead.
All this news comes amid the backdrop of a draft recommendation published by the House of Representatives, Inspector General, calling on the Sergeant-at-Arms office to engage in internal behavioral monitoring to detect internal security threats. The slim document suggested that the House Sergeant-at-Arms office, which leads security for the chamber, start a comprehensive murder insider threat program, which it currently lacks. Taken together, it's beginning to look a lot like a despotic third world country. They use COVID to criminalize our breathing and bodies. They use January 6th to criminalize political beliefs. Now they're using any opposition to these policies as pretext to shred the First Amendment rights of citizens.
They're democracy. They're democracy, Jim. Jefferson said, you've got a republic if you can keep it. That's a constitution and a bill of rights. And I'm speaking the First Amendment now, and I'm carrying in my pocket my Second Amendment. And I know Professor James Spetzer, as an ex-Marine, is prepared if we have an invasion. And Jim, before the end of the night, after you finish all this report, because I know you've got a hell of a report for this evening, but I want to talk about what happens if we get into a fight with Russia, because I see that coming with this fucking Biden. This Biden is an embarrassment to the United States. Go ahead.
I want
you to take it. I want you to complete your report. Go ahead. We're at the 40 mark now, okay? 40 minute mark.
Believe it or not, the Department of Health and Human Services is now distributing crack pipes, prioritizing underserved communities. You won't believe this. The Health and Human Services Department is rolling out a $30 million grant program that will fund the distribution of items like crack pipes for smoking illicit substances. The Washington Free Beacon reported on the program, noting that the department would prioritize applicants in underserved communities as defined under one of Biden's executive orders. An HHS spokesperson reportedly told the Beacon the grants would fund smoking kits with pipes for users to smoke crystal meth, crack cocaine, and any illicit substances. They referenced Biden's executive order titled Advancing Racial Equity and Support for Underserved Communities Through the Federal Government. The order defines equity as the consistent and systematic, fair, just, and impartial treatment of all individuals, including those who belong to underserved communities that have been denied such treatment, such as Black, Latino, Indigenous, and Native American persons, Asian Americans, and Pacific Islanders, and other persons of color, members of religious minorities, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer persons, persons with disability, persons who live in rural areas, and persons otherwise adversely affected by persistent poverty or inequality. So in the name of equity, they plan to give crack pipes to these underserved communities. I mean, Stu, this is just insanity.
It's beyond insanity. This is our government? What a crime syndicate is operating. They're RICO, RICO, Racketeering Infos Corruption Organization. We have a legal right to take a bill. It's in numbers, folks. Remember, if the American people ever rise, we'll have 80% of the military would be behind us. How's that going to be done, Super Spooks? Two of them sitting there on the patio of Otis Johnson having a little party, barbecue party, some of his best friends, and he's got his buddy and they're talking with me in private. How's it going to be done? 80% of the military, from colonels and captains down, will rise and arrest the top military, and they will stand behind the American people. That's the NSA, folks. He kept us safe at night and days on shifts from his home off of a computer. There's 150 of them ever trained like them. Go ahead, Jim.
No, Stu, that's basically a wrap on what I have for you. And, you know, I welcome you to round it out with your own thoughts. I have another show to do tonight, remarkably enough. Well, Wednesdays are busy days for me, as are Mondays. So I want to thank you for this opportunity, Sue. It's always a pleasure.
Do you have any last words, Jim?
Well, yeah, be prepared. I mean, spend as much time as you can with your friends and family because, I mean, the jab, they're trying to wipe out the population. And if they're successful, we're gonna lose a lot of friends, a lot of neighbors, a lot of relatives. So spend as much time with those you care and love, because frankly, we do not know how much time we have left.
Now, those that have got jammed, reports are in the past week, I've seen on the news a few blurbs, around 950,000 deaths or something in the U.S. since COVID. But the true numbers, Joe's reported on about 2 million. He's dug up, Professor Joe. Now, I think it's closer to the 2 million. And worldwide, it's a disaster. But, folks, remember this. What has happened in these other countries? Jim, I ask you this question. This is what I've heard reports on. That England, France, other places have dropped their COVID mandates. Have they?
Well, England has. I don't know the latest of the situation in France, but Boris Johnson, about 10 days ago or more, restraints in the UK, or virtually all of them. And I think it was because of criminal investigations into a complaint filed with the International Criminal Court for
in the Hague
genocide, which names him specifically among those parties who are responsible.
Okay, now, there's been a whole list of other countries, and Joe brought up some information on this because he's been digging hard. He found it, and I wanted to have him on tonight, but he couldn't make it. It had to be a family thing. Anyway, other than that, is there any last words? Give out your website and your, you know, contact information.
StuJamesFetzer.org or my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. There's a whole lot there. I encourage everyone to visit, and I always appreciate these opportunities, Stu.
No problem. I'll get you.
Thanks very much, my friend.
Hey, Jim, thank you, and I want to talk to you for a moment after I stop the program. Hang on.